it's time for the garden conversation. And we're going to try something new here today. We have Melissa here in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Mardell.
Good morning.
On the phone, way up at 39 Mile.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Can hear you just fine.
Yes. Oh, great. Good. Well, I'm sitting here observing the sunshine up here. I don't know if it's sunny in town, but there's actually sun hitting the mountains here.
It's windy for sure. Is it windy up there?
No, it's not. That's one of the things that I do not have to deal with in my garden that Haynesites living in town do have to deal with is the wind. We don't have a lot of wind, so that counts in the winter, too, for sure. Snow.
Yeah, but you know what? The wind keeps the bugs away, so I don't mind when it's blowing and I'm outside and the mosquitoes are buzzing all over me.
You are very right on that.
you don't face Skagway, or you may have a different view of that. Yeah. So garden conversation and adventures in technology this morning as we try a little different way of doing the program.
Uh-huh.
It is beautiful.
One of the things that I wanted to make sure that we got said today was to let everybody know, all of the garden fans out there, that even though the garden conference is closed to more registrants, it is going to be open on Friday night to the public for a $10 admission. Come to the potluck, bring a dish to share, and that's going to start at 6 and promptly at 6 so that we're done by 7 when Jeff is going to be giving his first keynote address. And what he's going to be talking about, the title of his program is How Plants Eat. So I encourage people to come out. This is going to be your opportunity to hear Jeff speak. Some of you I know have read his books, Teeming with Microbes and Teeming with Nutrients and Teeming with Fungi. Those are his three books. And so we encourage people. We're going to have about a quarter of the people at the conference are coming from out of town. And so just for people's information, this is a sought after thing in our communities, it seems.
Very much so. And that is Friday the 16th?
Exactly.
Yeah, and Jeff Lowenfels, I've heard him speak and read two of his books. I haven't read the one on fungi. And also used to listen to him and read his column in the Anchorage Daily News back in the early 80s, and he's a great speaker, very knowledgeable. It should be a great program. So
yeah, I think it will be. So after that, making sure I got that word out, Melissa, what are you doing related to gardens these days? Have you gotten your seed catalogs out yet?
I've got my seed catalogs out, and after co-hosting the program a couple of times with Kate, I even got organized, and I have a whole format for what seeds I've ordered and from what company, and a place for notes as those germinate and or don't, and how they do over the course of the year, so I can really track that and keep better records for next
year. Better records.
Yeah.
Nobody can out document Kate, I don't think.
I don't think so. But she is a model we can all
aspire to.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got the seed catalogs out, got the order ready to go. Haven't sent it in yet, but...
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to do, it's kind of difficult to arrange because we all get our seed orders ready and it's just easier to send them in individually. But one thing I think that we should think about as a community, you know, the shipping is oftentimes the same whether you buy three packets of seeds or if you buy 30 oftentimes. And so I have done this successfully a few times of having little groups of seed buying just three friends or neighbors getting together and going in on seeds. And who needs 150 broccoli seeds, which is what comes in a packet of broccoli? And so if you can split those and share those among people, there's an advantage to that too. So you might want to this is the time to be talking to your gardening friends and saying, hey, do you want to do a seed order together? And of course, you know, I find that I need one packet of something from Johnny and the rest I need to get from someplace else. And so that helps too. You can order to several seed companies.
And that someplace else could be our local seed stores.
Yeah.
Indeed, and that is very true. They are working on and getting their seeds up. They're going to be selling at the conference. They're going to have other seeds. But, yep, thank you for saying that, because that is for sure. And one of the things, too, that people are looking at is the heirloom or open pollinated seeds versus hybrids. And my experience is that I actually try to grow both, because I find that the early seeds, which we have to get early in almost everything, you know, not our greens or our lettuces probably, but everything else has to be early. And usually those are hybridized seeds, which means you cannot save those seeds and share them with friends and neighbors, but it does mean that they come earlier. So my compromise is kind of to do both. I try to find an open pollinated or heirloom seed that does work here, but be prepared, I'm probably not going to get the same production. Do you use heirloom or open pollinated varieties at all, Melissa?
Yeah, I do. When I look in the catalog, I'm always checking to see if I can find an organic option. That's the most important to me. But then the OP or open pollinated is great for seed saving, for the things that you want to save seeds for. If you're looking in a catalog and it says F1, then that means it's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And those seeds...
All catalogs?
All catalogs, yeah. F1 is sort of a standard...
Nomenclature.
Yeah, and so that means that those are hybridized, and those seeds will not breed true. You might get seeds, but they won't be true to what you had before. A couple of other things to think about with the seeds. One is, if you have seeds from last year and you want to see if they're good, try doing an early germination with a seed burrito. And to do that, you wet a paper towel, put maybe 10 seeds in the paper towel, roll it up, this wet paper towel, roll it up like you would a burrito, mm-hmm. put it in a plastic bag, label it with our memories are not as good as we think they are. Label it with what it is, how many days it should take to sprout,
mm-hmm.
The day that you put the seeds in, and then keep a record of how well they do. And then that will tell you whether those other seeds are good or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make a choice. And that's really important to do if you need to order more seeds, because our growing season is so short. The other thing is, if you store seeds from 1 year to the next, there's a rule of 100, which is if you add humidity plus temperature, the number should be less than 100. If it's too warm or too moist, the seeds will rot.
And how do you know your humidity?
Well, that's a
trick. You get a meter that tells you what it is.
Yeah, you can either do something like that, or you can put it in a place that you know is dry.
Right.
Okay, so this is your humidity from year round.
Right. Yes. So
temperature year round, but mine varies so much.
Well, it does. Yeah. So it is a problem for us with seed saving, because we can get warm weather and we can get moist weather, but usually not together. I've had pretty good luck with storing seeds in a cool, unheated room.
And if you put them in a container that is not as exposed to the, you know, to the changes in your climate, it helps too. And my experience is that I keep many of my seeds many years. Now, you learn through the years, there's some things that do not keep. Like, don't try to grow parsnips the second year. It will not happen. And I find, interestingly, my carrot seeds kind of lose their germination fairly quickly. But I've had a lot of things that last a good long time. So doing Melissa's method of doing the burrito and checking out your germination rate is well worth it. You don't have to throw out seeds just because they're 1 year old.
All right. Well, yeah. That's good to know. Good information.
That can save some money there. So are you planting anything yet,
Ardell? I am going to plant. See, I have a situation where I can plant my tomatoes into my greenhouse earlier because I have attached greenhouse. So I'm going to be starting to plant my tomatoes not in the next, well, it'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks yet before I do. 6 weeks before is what I was just reading in Elliot Coleman's book last night, that he's recommending 6 weeks before you can put your tomatoes into your larger pots or wherever you're going to put them. So most people can't do that unless you have some way to get it out earlier. But flowers, a few of the lobelia and onions is another thing that I'm going to be starting to plant my first ones in a couple weeks. What about you, Melissa?
Yeah, lobelia, alyssum, and onion seeds. If I was going to mess with onion seeds, all of those are really early starts. And it's important to look at the back of the packet, the seed packet, and it will tell you when to plant. So I generally plant what used to be March 15th, and now I've upped it to about March 5th is when I start most of the things that I'm going to put outside as transplants and or into my greenhouse. Mm-hmm. If you start them too soon, they get leggy, they get weak, they just get root bound, they get too big. And so even though we can get very tempted to get started early, you have to hold off. Otherwise, you just have weak plants.
Yeah, right. I do. I see that as probably one of the biggest mistakes that novice gardeners here in our climate do. You get excited and you get those plants in their pots too early, and they get root bound, and those plants never recover completely. And the ones that I see most often are the fast growing ones, like nasturtiums, cucumbers. Once you get those in the pots, they grow really fast, and it doesn't really do the plant any good to get started too early, and we all get excited to get them started. And so now, Melissa, you start yours early like that. If I would have a mess if I started them out here that early, I usually start the bulk of mine, all of my brassicas, around April 15th. Mm. So, all of you listeners in between, you've got to look at your own situation and figure out how early you want to start them.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of holding off until the garden conference, so those experts there can tell us when to plant and what to plant.
You're going to find there, and this is one of the reasons that we're doing this garden conference, is that everybody's going to kind of have their own, the experienced gardeners are going to have their own timetable because it is adjusted to their growing conditions.
Their microclimate, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So yeah. It's one of the reasons why I'm really thrilled. We've got about a quarter of the people coming from out of town, and I'm really excited about the fact that we can learn and grow from each other and our own experiences and form a garden community, which is one of the reasons we've opened the potluck up on Friday night, too, so that you can come and talk to other gardeners.
Yeah, and there'll be lots of opportunities for that. With my starting seeds March 5th, by the way, I have an attached greenhouse attached to my house, and so I can grow things under lights. So, Mardell, when you were at my house the other day, you saw my tulips blooming.
Oh, and they were so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I now have hyacinth coming and daffodils.
Wow.
So I start these in bulbs in October, the bulbs in pots in October, put them out in my garage where that's unheated, and I don't water them at all. And then in January or February, when you can see the little noses of the bulbs starting to come up, I bring them in the house one pot a week. I put them under grow lights, the jumpstart grow lights that are on those stands. And I end up with flowers blooming starting in February, and will carry
goodness.
Me right through until they start blooming in the outside.
It gives you hope, huh?
It gives me hope, yeah.
Well, so in our 1 minute that we have left, is there anything that you want to add to?
So just one question I want to ask, Melissa. Are these bulbs that you buy fresh, or are these bulbs that you have taken out of your dirt in your soil? Or
They're ones that I have bought fresh. Mm-hmm. And one more real quick thing. We are looking for somebody with experience with grafting to help the Marvin's Garden. So oh. if you are an experienced grafter, get in touch with Yolanta at Toksnek Watershed Council and offer your services. They want to teach the kids how to do some grafting of all of the trees that are out there.
Interesting science experiment
there.
Well, the garden conference starts next Friday. What time?
1 a.m., not 1 a.m., 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and we are going to start promptly on time, so make sure you're there before that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Any questions, you can email here at, what is the email?
It's garden@khns.org.